Welcome back to Plebs on Parade, the show where every pleb is a potential philosopher. I'm your host, Timmy Tether, and today we're talking to plebs about the Department of Government Efficiency. Is it good? Is it bad? What do plebs think? Let's find out. It's Timmy Tether again here in beautiful Long Island. We're talking to Thomas from Jacksonville, Florida. Thomas, what do you think about Elon Musk's new Doge efforts in Washington, D.C.?
I don't like that Elon Musk has access to all my personal private information. He's a billionaire. If he wants my data, he should either engineer a digital platform to harvest my thoughts in exchange for dopamine or buy my data off the dark web like everybody else.
You heard it here, folks. Proof of work. No more free access to our data. Next, let's ask Shinobi from Chicago. Shinobi, how do you feel about Doge?
Fuck that technocrat piece of shit. Elon Musk is a fucking retard, and so are his supporters.
Well, all right. Shinobi from Chicago doesn't sugarcoat it, ladies and gentlemen. Elon Musk is a fucking retard. All right, our last pleb is Terry from South Dakota. Terry, thoughts on Doge?
Timmy Tether, let me tell you something. I used to be a proud taxpayer until Doge revealed my taxes are going towards turning me into a gay retard. That's why I support Doge, and I support Big Balls. I would be proud to call Big Balls my son or my nephew. I wish we had more young Big Balls in D.C.
All right, there you have it. Terry supports Doge, and it sounds like you also stand behind Big Balls despite the controversies.
I love Big Balls.
That's all for this week, folks. I'm your host, Timmy Tether. Thanks for watching Plebs on Parade.
And now, let's get some thermodynamically sound dating advice from Bugle correspondent Maggie Morris.
Hello and welcome to Maggie's Advice Corner. Here I will give thermodynamically sound advice to Bitcoiners and their loved ones. Let's start with the first question.
Hey Maggie, this is Brian Hoddle. I'm an orange cell who is under 5 feet tall, and I'm having trouble getting girls to listen to me about Bitcoin on dates. The last one I dated briefly, I tried to explain thermodynamics, and she said that she didn't care and wanted to have sex instead. I got frustrated that she wouldn't listen to me, and I stormed out. How do I get women to listen to me about Bitcoin? I can't date anyone who isn't as orange-pilled as me, but I also don't want to be orange-pill Eskimo brothers with Robert Breedlove. I want to pop her orange-pill cherry myself.
Hi, Ryan, you absolutely retarded creep. Listen, you know, orange-pilling, like anything else you do with a woman, needs to be consensual. Can't force a woman to be orange-pilled. She needs to want to be orange-pilled. If you want to orange-pill a woman, you need to gain her trust. One good way to gain her trust is physical intimacy. I'm sorry to tell you. What I'm saying is that you'll have to have sex with her. But that'll also have some benefits, because sex will spread chemicals in your brain that'll make it easier for you to stay humble and stack sets. Thank you for the question, Brian, and please update me on how your next date turns out.
Thanks, Maggie. Now here's your hosts, Rod Palmer and Richard Greaser.
Welcome to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. This is your co-host, Richard Greaser, tuning in from the Bugle Newsroom up here in a secret location in New York City. It's been a wild week. It's going to continue to be a wild week. We're watching the game theory play out before our eyes. We're watching the world change rapidly. The sovereign individual thesis is playing out. How you doing today, Rod? What do you got going on?
Yeah, today's great. It's been a huge week, and we are going to get into that very shortly. But today is, well, the day we're recording is, a lot of you may not realize this, but you may be wondering, like, why your sports feed or your Twitter feed or your social media feed has been flooded with sports ball content. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. It's kind of like Bitcoin Pizza Day for normies. It's a big day for them, big party day, a lot of pizza consumed. And one of the big stories is that the Elon Musk apparently bought like $40 million worth of commercials for the Super Bowl because it's the most watched thing in the world. And he's going to do Doge commercials. And if you haven't been paying attention, that's big this week. We found out last week that USAID was a front for the CIA, and they were using our tax dollars to try to turn us into gay retards. And people were very upset about that. But people, the lawsuits, they fought back. The courts fought back, and they're trying to freeze the saying that Elon Musk shouldn't have the right as an unelected official to have access to our personal data. You have to be elected to have unlimited access to Americans' personal data. If you are a private citizen or a foreigner, you have to buy it from the dark web, from hackers who have done the proof of work to get that personal data if you want it. So Elon Musk is trying to get a free lunch, get all America's data for his own purposes, for Twitter, for X, whatever, for SpaceX. But it's still a good story about dismantling the deep state, because we were worried for a while there that the CIA had turned our children into gay retards, and there was nothing we could do about it. But this Doge story tells about a racist young computer autistic wizard who goes by the name of Big Balls. And he has stepped up and kind of shown that, like, oh my God, not all of them are gay retards. There's still some based kids back down there who smoke cigarettes, who transact adversarially, and they're helping us take down the deep state. And it's just been a shot in the arm. It's been a really great, really great week.
So can you explain who this character Big Balls is?
Yeah. All we know about him, he's like 19 years old. He's got the broccoli haircut that Zoomers typically have. And he goes by the name Big Balls. And he's been hacking the shit out of the CIA's records. He has found all the DEI. He's grown up in nothing but saturation from the CIA. These programs that have been trying to turn us into gay retards. It's been in his schools, on his television, everything he sees on YouTube. So when he gets into those databases, he knows exactly what that program is for, because they try to brainwash him with that and turn him into a gay retard. So he's uncovering it all. And they fired him on Friday because he had noticed a few too many things when he was like 13, and he tweeted about those from a pseudonym account. So they fired him from it. He noticed too many things. You're not supposed to do that in the government. But Vice President J.D. Vance said that he forgives him and he deserves a second chance. And so does America. Because most of the people today in power, if people heard their Xbox Live, their chats when they were younger, they would, we would want to forgive them. So she would forgive Big Balls. So he's back on the case.
So this is an individual that previously worked for the government, was fired from the government for noticing too much, and now works at Doge.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, he worked at the government for Doge last week, but he got fired at the end of the week because they determined that he noticed too many things. He's just too outspoken about things you're not supposed to notice. So they fired him. But a few hours later, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, they rehired him.
Interesting. So Elon didn't like the... Who didn't like the noticing? Elon's out there marching around talking about how beast he is.
The noticing was done by the mainstream media.
Okay.
It was done by the same... when you look up her name, we'll find it here. But the same journalist who was funded by USAID and has ties to the CIA, she also doxed Fiat Jeff, the Noster open source dev. So she not only did she expose and dox Noster devs, she is now doxing Big Balls.
Is this the same one that doxed Libs of TikTok?
I'm not sure if that is, but that might be true.
Yeah, I mean, the entire media apparatus is... we had an interesting interview with Frank Corva talking about the transition that we're watching happen. It's all very interesting. So it sounds like to work in the Trump administration in some way, they're okay if you were a 4chan shit poster at some point. That's what JD
right. means. Trump. Exactly. It just means that as long as you can do your job, you're somebody who, especially if you're younger, you have taxpayer potential. It means that if those group chats that you really hope on Telegram or, you know, even Signal, or maybe you're as lazy as just like Facebook chat, if those get leaked, it doesn't mean you won't be able to afford your taxes. Mm-hmm. You still can contribute to, you know, to the community, to society.
Yeah. It's all very interesting. So we've been unpacking what this USAID stuff means. It's been interesting to unpack, to say the least. There's a lot of stuff that isn't been fully declassified. Like, we haven't seen any direct proof that Joe Nakamoto was receiving USAID funding, but we did notice that he hasn't posted a video since the news dropped about USAID.
Right. Yeah. So far the paper trail is thin. However, some of this stuff could definitely have been laundered in some way using Tether. That's one of Tether's benefits for sure. And we know Joe Nakamoto receives Tether money, and we just know that he hasn't posted about, you know, Tether or any of these gay videos that he makes since U.S. aid was frozen. And there's a litany of other examples like this, like Politico, they shut down, you know, they had to lay people off. It's like all these layoffs are very suspicious timing, and people who have been accused of trying to turn their readers or their listeners into gay retards.
Now, I think it's interesting to try and collect information on who isn't having issues right now, who isn't having to do staffing cuts, who isn't losing a lot of revenue.
Exactly. This is kind of a turning point. And this is, I think, kind of the point. We all knew this was happening. We all knew this was going on. I mean, plenty of people on Bitcoin Twitter, on Bitcoin podcasts, we have been warning you that the government is trying to turn you into a gay retard. Mm-hmm. And nobody listened. They didn't want to listen. They wanted to believe what the TV told them to believe. And now that this is coming to the surface and people have to confront it, we have to ask ourselves, what are we paying taxes for? I thought I was paying taxes for Israel to get to Ukraine but not to turn me into a gay retard. And if I'm, you know, I want, if I'm a tax, if I'm going to pay my taxes, I want to know the CIA is turning their efforts, the FBI is turning their efforts into exploit, you know, go sell and pump and dump meme coins in Africa. Get them addicted to Tether. That will lower our interest rates. It will subsidize our debt. That's what we need. Otherwise, people are going to stop buying our treasuries. So we need the global south to be addicted to our pump and dump, you know, financing methods. And they need to stop trying to trick American taxpayers with that bullshit. If you can pay your taxes, you should be at least afforded the, you know, the privilege to not have the CIA trying to turn you into a gay retard debt slave through pump and dump meme coins.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the revelations that I think really bothered people about this USAID thing, is the suggestion that these types of psychological warfare, the meme coining, the shit coining, was directed not just exclusively at people in the Middle East and the global South, but also at American citizens. Like, an example, hypothetically or theoretically, we don't know for sure, but the Good Morning Bitcoin Twitter spaces closed at a very convenient time. They shut down their Twitter spaces right around when this news dropped about USAID, which is very conspicuous in my opinion.
Yeah. There's been several spaces, X spaces daily Bitcoin spaces that have seen their, you know, seen their time run up. They've canceled it. Then it's some of them that saw it coming. And you had the toxic pled happy hour with Tubby and Anders that ended. And then this it ends with Good Morning Bitcoin. And I wrote a song about this. You can go back to Wavelake. It was about, you know, these spaces who have the same holidays as commercial banks, the Fed, the CIA. Anytime those guys were off work, so were these spaces. And I just said, maybe somebody should look into that. And Mars did. And people told Mars he was crazy, but the evidence, it's not evidence, but it's coincidence. It's a strange coincidence.
So I didn't realize that toxic happy hour ended. So that happened this week?
It didn't happen this week. It happened previously, but I'm just saying, you know, a culmination of daily spaces coming to an end this week. It seems like the funding and the effort has been drying up. It seems like Donald Trump has been sniffing this out and kind of cleaning the system, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Have we heard of any loss of funding to HRF?
I have not. So that's something to look into, though. I think that if you see if you see Alex Gladstein or some of these other people who work for, you know, CK, who work for HRF, if they're asking you for money, if they ask you for a donation anytime soon, I would just think that they should have to answer the question is that, you know, do they need money because U.S. aid has stopped giving it to them?
Yeah, that would be big. I mean, I think this is like one of the challenges, you know, it's an example of why. So first of all, on the topic of Mars, I think the reason why people are getting upset at him has nothing to do with the content of what he's covering, but it has to do with his lack of credentials. Like people believe in going through the proper channels, going through the proper processes. And when you have a non-credentialed forklift driver commenting on the feds of Twitter spaces, I think some people find that frustrating. Because if people are doing that, then why even have credentials in the first place, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Like, exactly right. Sometimes, listen, a few years ago, if somebody who drove a forklift for a living and, you know, had a blog on the internet told you that vaccines made you retarded or killed you, you would say that's a crackpot conspiracy. I trust CNN. I trust ABC News. I trust what my doctor says. Mm-hmm. And we're learning that all of the people that you trusted before were funded by USAID. And the people who have been trying to point out, it's just like they're, whatever tune of autism they're on, the government just wasn't able to turn them into a gay retard. Mm-hmm. And they were resistant. And these autistic, meme-driven artists like Mars and others, it was their way of helping people, trying to point out the truth to people. And we're learning that, you know, those guys were right, and it wasn't the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty dangerous to have normal people reporting on stories when the media should be. And
right, like if it is a scary thing to realize that you have to rely on somebody like those, you know, Mars Bars for accurate information and news, that you can't trust all the official sources and the official credentials. That's hard to confront. So, you know, we have to fix it.
So maybe what needs to happen is Mars needs to start a Bitcoin podcast, and then people listen to his opinion a little bit more.
Right. He needs to, if he wants people to take him seriously, he needs to, you know, take himself seriously and start that Bitcoin podcast. And, you know, it's his duty to get this in. It's a journalist is a calling. It is not, you know, it's not people who want to get into journalism because they want to go to Diddy parties, where they want to be in the Discord servers that tell them about the next pump and dump for Africa that they can go and dump on people in the global south. If they just want to go to yacht parties, you know, that's why they become journalists. If they kind of like Joe Nakamoto, that's not a true journalist. A journalist is reluctant. You don't trust the journalist who wants to report you the news. You want to trust the journalist who must report you the news. No matter how many people make fun of them and call them a scammer or call them a black pillar on Bitcoin Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all very strange. I mean, I think most people in the media right now have a lot of whiplash. And therefore, you know, if the people telling people what to think don't know what to think, at least the TV watchers, the podcast listeners, the newspaper readers, they're probably feeling some extreme whiplash as well right now.
Yeah. The people who weren't paying very close attention, who've not been listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts, they're not going to see the truth overnight. It's going to take some time. And this is why it's so important to be a part of the 40 hours per week, you know, gang, essentially. Hashtag 40 hours per week, because that's how you kind of onboard these other people and show them there is a way to get off of this clown world and find the credentials again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we need to give people a pep talk, because like, I think there's a lot of new people becoming interested in Bitcoin. The government's essentially giving people permission to use it. Dennis Porter is really changing the landscape as far as protecting people's rights to custody and to mine. You know, their rights are protected, so I think they're a little bit more interested in using it. These people, they hear 40 hours a week and they think it's daunting, because most of them have been accustomed to not even working 40 hours a week at their job since the COVID lockdowns. The new normal has been, you know, roughly 20 hours a week, work from home. People have gotten lazy. And they forget their time preference has been all screwed up. They've been conditioned by fiat, and they're not going to come to the conclusion that they need to listen to 40 hours a week, because they've never listened to 40 hours a week of anything except for maybe Joe Rogan.
All right. They're like circling the drain of nihilism. They just don't see what the point is, you know, and this is why this doesn't really affect cigarette smokers, because you're getting outside and you're walking in the sun. And your testosterone's flowing, and you've got a lower time preference overall. But a lot of people are seeing that, and they think, I want that too. I want what he has, and they're coming out of it. And they just need a little coaching. You just have to say, listen, even though you're retarded, and you were gay, and you became a gay retard because the government told you to, I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
You can still come be based.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the messaging to these people, we kind of have to ease them into it. You know what I mean? Like, we can't just push them to listen to 40 hours a week right away. We have to get them off of zero first, and then we got to incrementally ease them into it. You know, and hopefully after a year or two, having gone to a few conferences, having gone to a few meetups, they'll realize that there's no other way but 40 hours a week to be properly informed.
But it's just, yeah, it's like when you first get orange-pilled, you're like, oh, I'm just going to do $100 a month. I'll buy some here or there. And then the more you learn about it, it's just the more of your time goes into it, your time and money. Mm-hmm. And same with listening to Bitcoin podcasts. You start off with one or two, and then, you know, the next thing you know, your RSS feed is full and you're like pies and you're listening to every one that it gets published. And that is, you know, everybody's going to do that on their own rhythm.
Yeah. Cause what we're essentially doing as Bitcoin podcasters is we're deconditioning people's brains from the CIA psyops, from all the scientific MK Ultra studies, from years and years of public education and conditioning. which is no easy task. It really is an honorable calling to come in and try and communicate with people that their brains have been so stunted as a result of the CIA propaganda. We encounter these people on a regular basis. Like, you're at a party and you're talking to somebody and they're friendly and they seem like their IQ is above 50. And then you bring up this USA thing and they start repeating whatever they heard on CNN. And it's a hard position to come from, like, explaining to them the world, the way the world works. Cause they have this perception that has been formed by USA, by the individuals seeking to protect our democracy.
That's a great point. But I think this is where we have to be vigilant. Mm-hmm. This is where it's important to be wearing a 40 hours per week Bitcoin podcast t-shirt when you're in public. Mm-hmm. This is why it's important to be wearing your favorite, just Bitcoin company, Bitcoin t-shirt at all. When you're at family gatherings or work events or anywhere, the airport, because when you ask somebody what their opinion is, and you're wearing that t-shirt, they know it's safe to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are just, they're waking up, or maybe they've woken up, but they don't have the courage. They haven't listened to enough Bitcoin podcasts yet to have the courage to tell you the truth when they don't know that you're a Bitcoiner, but they think that you might be an NPC as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you invite them to come. When you ask them what their opinion is, ask them if it's a retarded one. Give them a hint. Say something. If you don't have the t-shirt, let them know it's a safe space.
And now back to Maggie for some more dating advice.
Hello, Mags dear. This is Alice Humphrey. I've been trying to find a boyfriend at the local meetup. You would think it would be easy because the majority of Bitcoiners are looking for girlfriends. The problem is that most of them are actually shitcoiners, or take Alex Svetsky's Bushido of Bitcoin a bit too seriously. I don't like the extremes. I feel like my only three dating options are shitcoiners, carnivore macro mainsplainers who read The Sovereign Individual once a week, and feds. I want to be a mother, but I don't want to have to be a trad wife with 12 kids. I don't want to have to ask my husband for permission to listen run a node or listen to Bitcoin podcasts. Should I look outside my meetup and download the Orange Pill app, or will that just mean I'll date a fed? I look forward to your advice. Thanks, Mags.
Dear Alice, thank you for the question.
This is very easy. First of all, if you want to find a husband and have children with him, I highly recommend not to do it with a Bitcoiner because they're all crazy. Because Bitcoin is a Ponzi scheme fiat death cult. But if you still want to do it, which I totally understand, it's really simple. First of all, look your best, but don't look slutty. Roll up to the Bitcoin meetup. You just stand around there and wait for someone to approach you. So there's only two kinds of people who will approach you. Either a psychopath or a shitcoiner. So if you get approached by a Bitcoiner, you assume they're a psychopath, you just ditch them as fast as possible and wait for someone else to talk to you. The reason the shitcoiner is the one to first talk to you is because they're more outgoing and have better social skills. So you ask this guy, say you're thinking to invest some money, and what does he recommend? And he'll start shilling you some kind of shitcoin or scam. And then you start raising your voice and bitching him out and calling him a scammer and a shitcoiner and making a scene. And this will draw to you all the Bitcoiners, the real Bitcoiners from the meetup, and likely form a circle around you and start kind of awkwardly kind of trying to suss you out. So you hopefully will go into some kind of bland conversation about current Bitcoin topics and light technology stuff. So what you need to do is, don't show your cards, just polite conversation and try to notice if any one of them doesn't talk over you and doesn't try to force you to listen to explanations of stuff you already know. The one guy who isn't doing that, he's an anti-woke progressive, and that's the guy you need to check out. You're welcome.
Well, I think what differentiates the 40 hours per week versus the just typical Bitcoin company shirt is, it's going to be easier to spot the feds, right? So if somebody has a 40 hours a week shirt, you can approach them and you can ask them a few questions that only people will know who listen to 40 hours a week. The thing about feds is, first of all, they tend to be lazy, right? They tend to try and get by in the bare minimums. Like, a lot of them haven't taken the time to ever run a Bitcoin node, at least the ones that are sitting on Twitter Spaces. They haven't tried out all the different Lightning wallets. They've never read a Darth Coin tutorial, because they're just LARPing. They're just pretending to be Bitcoiners, essentially. But if you see somebody with the 40 hours a week shirt, you can ask them, you know, essentially like a secret question. Like, it's like a, almost like a passphrase of like, you're in a secret society. And depending on how they answer, you know, you could very easily discern if they're just repping stolen valor or if they're the real deal.
I think I know where you're going with this one.
Yeah. And if they're the real deal, then you can have a thermodynamically sound conversation. But if you quickly catch that, it's kind of like, you know, for jiu-jitsu people, it's pretty easy to tell if somebody's stealing valor. You know what I mean? They walk into the gym with a purple belt or a brown belt, and you catch them in a triangle choke, like they're a white belt, or even if they're repping the black belt, you know they're full of shit. You know, maybe you press them for some questions and they end up admitting that they're a black belt in karate and they thought it translated the same. But you'll catch them on their back foot when you catch them in a choke hold. And it's the same thing when you ask the right questions to somebody wearing a 40 hours a week t-shirt. It's kind of like you're catching them in a metaphorical triangle choke or an arm bar.
Exactly. And once, you know, if they don't hesitate when you ask that question, and they firmly shake your hand, they're probably, this is, if they take a cigarette out of their mouth, that tail, reach out and shake your hand and give you the bright answer. That is the equivalent of when somebody comes into your jiu-jitsu gym and they got cauliflower ears and they've got a blue belt, but they got these cauliflower ears and they, you know, they just say they want to warm up, but they end up surprising you. But yeah.
Do you think there's been any documented cases of people getting cauliflower ear from listening to so many Bitcoin podcasts? Have we seen that?
I think that's true. I mean, I think nowadays a lot of people who, you know, they don't want, maybe up to this point, they did not want their whole community to know they listen to 40 hours per week of Bitcoin podcasts. So they will wear like AirPods. But do you get like the bigger, the legitimate professional Bitcoin podcast listener headphones? Yeah, I mean, the damage to your cartilage could definitely be there after, there's definitely, it happens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the only way to listen to Bitcoin podcasts, or the proper way to listen to them, is with over the ear high quality headphones.
100%.
I mean, I instructed all of our listeners and readers to buy a new set of headphones when Bitcoin hits 100K. So I hope everybody did that. I hope everybody's listening to our voices and it's just like booming and you can hear the bass. You can hear the high definition.
I hope that one day, you know, you walked into Home Depot or Lowe's and the most, you know, the most common look is going to be the guy with big headphones on, the blue blocker sunglasses, you know, those glasses, wearing like the five finger shoes, the toe shoes, wearing a 40 hours per week t-shirt. And that's just going to be, you know, it's going to be the look. It's going to be the new Patagonia shirt.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been working diligently on the Beagles. We still don't have a date on when we're going to be doing that. But yeah, I think this is going to be the most important event of 2025 and probably, you know, going forward annually as we do it, which is the Bitcoin Podcasting Awards. Do you have any thoughts you want to share with anybody on that process of getting ready for this?
Absolutely. I've reached out to some of you. I will start nagging you publicly if you don't respond by the end of next week. But if you, you know, we're looking for people who would like to participate and communicate or contribute and be a part of the presentation. It should be pretty easy. We're just looking for people to help make us videos and to support the community that is paying your bills, paying your sats that you're getting boosted on Fountain Out, and give back. It'll be fine. And if you don't respond, then we will, you know, we'll make the meme of you that that we think is the most funny. So just think about that. But yeah, I don't have, I think it's going to be exciting. And I think that if you would like to contribute, don't hesitate to reach out and let us know what ideas you might have.
Awesome.
I think we should go to the next topic, which was a pretty good question and got a lot of engagement from everybody on Bitcoin Twitter. And it was a great story by Crypto Epstein. Should women run their own Bitcoin node?
You had an interesting take. I'm pro-choice on this one, but I want to hear your take first.
Well, I think that, yeah, you know, listen, it is a permissionless network. It is censorship resistant. I cannot prevent a woman from trying to run her own node. I just think that if she has a husband or a father, that it would be best to trust his node, to use his node. And it's not because I don't think that women deserve to be able to transact adversarially. I just think that all I know is every woman who has tried to run her own node, who had just didn't use her husband's node or her father's, they DM me. They don't understand how to connect their Umbral. They don't know how to download it. They accidentally send it to an Ethereum address and they lose their sats. And I just think that it's pretty hard. And just leave it to your husband.
Yeah, I know. I think men typically are like men and women are different. And that's been a distinguishment that has been made obvious through executive order by President Trump, is the reality that men and women are different, right? He put that in an executive order. The NCAA has formalized that
right
in their policies.
Right. It is a symbol or a sign of regulatory clarity.
Uh-huh.
People did not have regulatory clarity on how many genders there were, if there was a difference between men and women or not. And because of that lack of regulatory clarity, people didn't know what the most compliant or the most successful or the most secure solution mm-hmm. to these problems would be. But now we have that regulatory clarity. Women don't have to fumble around and they're trying to watch BTC sessions, tutorials, for all they can think about is his muscles and how cute he is. And then they just end up, you know, outsourcing that they shouldn't be trusting their husband, but instead they're trusting BTC sessions. And then BTC sessions already has a wife, and it's just, you know, it would be better to trust your husband than, you know, an influencer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, your husband should be listening to it 40 hours a week. He should have watched all the BTC sessions videos. He shouldn't have been distracted by his muscles.
Yeah. But this isn't just on women. If as a husband, you have neglected to, you know, allow your wife to use your node, maybe you're not running your own node yourself. Well, then in those instances, that's why women would go and try and use BTC sessions node. So if you have to ask the question is, are you providing a node for your wife? And if you're not, maybe that's why she trusts BTC sessions instead of you with her node needs.
Well, this is one of the reasons why I asked Maggie Morris to do a dating segment, because these are things that men and women need to understand. And I don't think there's enough, there's too much emphasis on macro and not enough emphasis on how to date properly as an orange-pilled couple. And I like to see that change. So this is our endeavor getting into that we debuted on this episode. But yeah, men and women are different, 100%. I think that's important to say, but there's also like a spectrum of like, it's unfortunate to say this, or pains me to say this, but there are men who are retarded and their wives are smarter than them. And there are certain situations where in the relationship, the woman might be the more competent node runner. You know what I mean? I think those are kind of edge cases.
100%.
They're edge cases, but they're still, and this just comes down to, you know, a lot of these culture war type questions on whether or not women should run nodes, they don't take into account that individuals are individuals, that they're all different and they think differently. They like different things. You know, not everybody listens to the same Bitcoin podcast. Not everybody chooses to do the same things in a relationship. And there are competent, like, you know, most women can't drive well. Most women can't drive drunk well. But there are individuals like Kaylee Welch who can drive exceptionally well drunk. And I think she's competent in running nodes. So I wouldn't hold her back. I wouldn't ever want to live in a country where there were laws prohibiting women from running Bitcoin nodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's important to, like, you know, be honest with yourself and to admit whether you're competent or not at doing these things.
Right. So
yeah,
that brings back the question. So we're bringing back regulatory clarity about gender roles. And while doing that, we've spent a lot of time the past few years reminding women what their gender role is. But some men, we've forgotten what our gender role is. So if, when it comes to these situations, if you have been, you've identified that you are the retard of the relationship, then your wife is, you know, the one, more competent one. If you are not running the node for the family, if you're not the one who is able to afford taxes, what role do you have? Where do you fit in here? Because a lot of people, I think, that are having this difficulty adjustment we're going through right now are looking for which role they should play.
Yeah. And I think that's a...
I think the answer to that one is be the Bitcoin podcaster of the relationship. But your wife run the node, pay the taxes. You put out the signal to orange-billed people. You can spend more of your time focused on it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're in a position where your wife is the breadwinner, you can stay at home and listen to Bitcoin podcasts all day. You can stay at home and actually podcast all day. You could do things like be a meetup organizer and be a conference attender. There's tons of opportunities that you have that others might not be able to because they're, you know, busy earning money for the family.
Right. And this is, you know, this is where I think, where do you come to this agreement that, hey, you're going to run the node and pay taxes. I'm going to listen to Bitcoin podcasts all day. I think it will go over easier with your wife if when she goes and starts the family node, or when she starts using the hardware wallet, that you do not nitpick her decisions. If she has decided that running Bitcoin Core on her laptop, that she put Linux on and has air gapped, then don't, you know, tell her that she should just buy an Umbral, or vice versa. Just let her pick and don't be second guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't be mansplaining single sig versus multi sig. If you're not putting the work in yourself, don't sit there.
Exactly. Like,
this is a pretty common experience where, you know, like, women typically don't do things like clean the gutters or put up the Christmas lights. but they sure have a lot of input on it. Don't be like that in the relationship.
Right, exactly.
Everybody knows how frustrating it is to be up on the roof of your house when it's super cold outside, putting up the Christmas lights, freezing your balls off, and getting nagged at about the lights not being spaced properly. But don't nag your wife about running knots versus core.
Right. If you knew the most efficient way to manage resources, and to do it profitably, you would be the one, running your node, not the one, saying that knots is better because you can filter ordinals, blah, 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 mine with ocean. You can make that decision when you're the one paying taxes.
But yeah, I mean, everybody's relationship's different. So you just got to work things out. I just think, yeah, don't be a nagger, though. Nobody likes naggers.
Nobody. Another big news item this week. It leaked that the next Bitcoin conference, Bitcoin 2026, will be held in Gaza. And if that sounds weird to you, well, this is why it shouldn't be. This week, Donald Trump, the president, he decided that the U.S., basically all the bombs that took out Gaza Strip and destroyed it were our bombs. We gave it to them, so we should get to take Israel. And he wants to rebuild Israel. Barely David Bailey told him that Bitcoin fixes this to almost everything. So he thinks that this is going to, he's going to use Bitcoin to fix Gaza. And they're going to get, they're going to get Marathon and Riot. They're going to get the miners out there. They're going to get them out there stabilizing the grid immediately. That's going to immediately, start to realign the incentives of the area. And they're going to build, they're going to send Bitcoin's best builders to the Gaza Strip and they're going to rebuild it. And so by, 18 months from now, essentially, it's going to be ready for the Bitcoin conference. And it's right now, there's kind of a debate of who should be the headline speaker of the Gaza Bitcoin conference. Should it be Alex Gladstein? Should it be Michael Saylor? Or should it be Dennis Porter? What do you think? What do you think about that?
I think that if there was anybody that had an opportunity to bring peace to the Middle East by speaking at a Bitcoin conference in Gaza, it would be Dennis Porter, hands down.
100%. But I think that everything looks like it is moving in that direction. The inertia is already there. It's not officially announced. Obviously, they don't announce the location of the next Bitcoin conference until like the third day of the actual one. So we'll find out officially then. But yeah, it's a big task. But when Bitcoin is already won, who can be against you?
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be very interesting, to say the least. It's going to be the first conference, Bitcoin conference, I think many people have attended, that instead of getting hassled by the TSA, they get hassled by various elements affiliated with the IDF or the Israeli government and security forces.
Well, the first thing they'll notice in that situation is that TSA is really fat and stupid and retarded. And then, IDF is not. There's a lot of things you can say about the IDF. There's a lot of things a lot of people have noticed about the IDF. The one thing you cannot say about them is that they are not gay retards. Mm-hmm. They're effective. And I don't think, not all plebs are necessarily prepared for that environment. And I think that, there will be, one of the, hopefully it'll be mitigated, but hopefully we just don't have too many meme gangs or teasing each other or being feds and fighting during the Bitcoin conference, because I just feel like the paranoia will be very high for a good reason.
So, well, I got to say, I've got a little bit of whiplash. I think it's interesting recording this before the sports poll. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of breaking news that happens after we record. There's probably going to be a lot of Super Bowl ads about Bitcoin ETFs. Do you think MicroStrategy might do a Super Bowl ad?
Yeah. I think one thing will be interesting is that with the USAID CIA funding frozen. The ads that you know, we may have expected today may have been pulled. They may have been frozen. They may have the check's not going to clear. It probably opened some room for some new psyops to slip in. So it might be an interesting, they might call us gay retards during the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Don't be a, that's my prediction. If that happens, just know that this was definitely recorded before that. So
yeah, I don't know what to expect. Do you know who's doing the Illuminati show in the middle?
Kendrick Lamar.
Wow. Well, that will be interesting.
Well, Kendrick Lamar, I mean, everybody knows this famous song, so no better time right now than the U.S., CIA asset's going to get to call a Canadian intelligence asset a gay retard pedophile during the Super Bowl, because that is Kendrick Lamar's his number one hit song. That's why they brought him to the Super Bowl. The CIA brought Kendrick Lamar to the Super Bowl to call the top Canadian intelligence agent a pedophile. So that's a shot that's going to be shot over the bow.
So do you have to like Drake as a Canadian Bitcoin podcast listener? Is that kind of like a prerequisite?
Or that's a good question. That's kind of like, yeah, because he is a Bitcoiner. So
I can't say
that, that means we would have to like our hip hop Bitcoiner, Diddy.
Mm-hmm. I don't like Diddy. I don't like Kendrick Lamar. I don't like Kanye West. I don't really like any of these guys. I do like some rap, but I just feel like rap has gotten just kind of boring. Like when I think of a good rapper, I think of somebody like Tip Energy.
Listen, no, this is the same theme we're seeing across culture, across the industry, across content. Rap became gay and retarded. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it happened, but in the past 10 years, maybe before that, the CIA turned rappers into gay retards, and it has suffered along with Disney. It has suffered along with Hollywood. It has suffered along with politics. Rappers, hip hop was not immune to becoming gay and retarded,
which is really interesting because I feel like rap's roots are in homophobia. Like many of the original rappers were very homophobic. Like you remember, he's not an original rapper, but he kind of brought rap to the white suburban living room. Eminem, remember homophobic he used to be, and then he kind of got woke for a little bit, and now he's anti-woke.
Well, I think that to some extent, it's hip hop. If you're still a rapper, and you're still, you want people to know that you didn't get turned into a gay retard by the government. There's a lot of rappers coming into Bitcoin. So, if you ask them the 40 hours per, you ask them the right question, I think they'll tell you in their music if they think when all is hot or not. But, you ready to get into the boost?
Yeah, we can get into the boost. But just one last thought on this. So a very popular TV show is HBO's The Wire. Have you seen that?
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, they, I think maybe that was the intro of making rap gay was, I forgot what the character's name, but there was the one gangster who was like one of the more badass gangsters that was at home.
Yeah, you're talking about Omar. Omar was gay. But I think that, I don't think that was the beginning. I think that was, well, maybe it was, but it's back then at least. If you were going to be a gangster rapper, then you were gay. You want to keep it private. You don't want to make being a gay retard your identity. And anybody who's willing to make their identity, that they're a gay retard is doing it because the TV and the CIA are telling them to.
Yeah.
Nobody wants you to see them and think that they're a gay retard. That's the psyop playing out. If that's their identity.
Yeah. Be like Michael Saylor. Don't ask, don't tell.
Exactly.
All right. Let's get into the views. So total boost for the week came out to 32,616 sats. Looks like we had some people boosting us via payment splits or however it works, streaming us sats as they listen. And then we had a handful of boosts as well. But the first boost from Fundamentals for 21,000 sats says, another great show. Appreciate the recognition. Hope it foreshadows a Beagle Award. Some corrections for posterity. My grandfather, not my father, was an accountant. Okay. So there's a correction we have to make from last week's show. Also says, both of my grandparents did 40 hours of math homework a week. That's impressive. My father was an aerospace engineer, like Sailor, except Jewish. He was credentialed with a PhD in electrical engineering and did not do a 40 hours per week of either math homework or Bitcoin podcast. Credentialist privilege, I guess. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he got, from his grandfather, he got the macro side. And from his father's side, he got the technical side.
Well, those are some pretty impressive, that's an impressive heritage. You know what I mean?
Right, like, right, yeah. Either way, it's good, yeah. Very good. Very good genes. Very good genetics.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, there's like this emphasis on being self-made. You know what I mean? Like there's individuals that look down upon individuals like Fundamentals that come from like an impressive lineage of individuals that do accounting and aerospace engineering. But I don't think we should look down on individuals like that. If anything, it's just like, okay, great. You had successful parents and grandparents.
Right. At the end of the day, you're going to learn that knowledge, that wisdom, and that you're going to have mentors and you're going to have heroes. And either they're going to be your grandfather, your great grandfather, or it's going to be BTC Sessions, Robert Breedlove, but it's going to be somebody. And you would rather get your values and your success from having, you know, good family, so you don't have to get them from Robert Breedlove.
It's a very good point. Well, congratulations, Fundamentals. Sounds like you've got some good shit going on as far as where you come from.
So, you know, next one, 2100 sats from Dave. Hashtag 40 hours per week in the handle. Bitcoin podcasters with two or more shows is the new standard. 40 hours per week. And that's a shout out to Fundamentals there.
Totally. Shout out to us. We've got two shows going on right now.
That's right. That's right.
I think there's so much to podcast about. And I think most Bitcoiners come to this realization, you know, going around having conversations, normal day-to-day life, that the just regular conversations that they're having with people should be recorded and should be published on an RSS feed. So I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's, I mean, there's like some alpha you want to preserve, you know what I mean? Like you want an edge on the rest of the world. You don't want to give everybody, show all your cards. But at the same time, it's good to spread as much alpha as you can. Well, thank you for the boost, Dave. The last boost is from our good friends at Orange Mart. 1,000 sats. So they say, headphones on, volume up, hashtag 40 HPW.
Oh, yeah. We love Orange Mart. Through listening, love to collaborate for the Bugles. It looks like you're on the browser, but in the app, we actually have a few more boosts. I'll just do all those right now. Ties hit us twice with 420 sats, 40 hours per week. Let's fucking go. And then another one for says value for value, Mushroom Flex, BTC on board. L Enhance, hashtag CTV, 300 sats. Send us three lightning bolts. Thank you, BTC on board. And then Rock On, 1,000 sats. No comment, tell you. Looks like you got in there.
Yeah, I just need to scroll down more. Well, thank you for everybody for boosting the show. Hope you enjoyed the sports bowl. And have a good one.
Later.
And now, this week's final piece of dating advice from Maggie Morris.
Hey Maggie, this is Pastor Jeffs here. I recently started having an affair with one of my congregants. She is the wife of one of the elders on the board. The Lord put it on my heart to do so, so in no way is this sinful. David had an affair with Bathsheba, only to be beloved by the Lord. That being said, my wife probably won't have the faith in the Lord that I do, and she won't understand. How do I navigate this situation and help my wife see the good news of Jesus Christ and be okay with doing a threesome? Also, how do I communicate to my congregation that the Lord demands that we have a threesome? Thanks. I look forward to your advice.
Dear Pastor, this is a Bitcoin podcast about Bitcoin podcasts, and I don't really understand why you sent me this question. But I'll try to help you. Oh my god. I think that you should buy Ethereum. Also, what you think is God talking to you is probably your dick. Your dick is talking to you, and you think that it's fucking Jesus Christ and God. That reminds me of classic Bitcoiner mentality. Because of their warped understanding of game theory, Bitcoiners sometimes hear their dick talking to them, and they think it's God talking to them through the blockchain.
Thank you for listening to this week's advice. Please put your questions in the comments on Fountain.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. We will catch you next week.